Phillips, Calvary Baptist. Oh, you don't got one.
Yeah, you
don't. You two, I'll give you two if you want to.
Well.
I got that one out.
You may take them away from me before it's open. Amen. It is a joy to be in the house of the Lord, I tell you. It's been a while since I preached in a midday service, you might say. And so maybe you done got over your sleepiness, and yeah, I'm used to anyway, we won't get into that. But it's good to be here. I appreciate the invite, Brother Roger and the church folks. It's just a blessing to be able to be in God's house and open up the scriptures and preach today for the glory of God. And I pray and hope it'll touch you, help you as we look to the Lord today for the message at this point in time. And I'm just thankful that the Lord graces us with his presence through song. And I was thinking as we were singing, I'm glad there's something inside my soul today that I know that what I'm singing about, and know that I'm only a sinner. Saved by the grace of God.
Blessed to be part of obedience. We'll take your Bible. Scripture, the First Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. Thank the Lord. I prayed and thought several weeks ago that the Lord had confirmed what I was preaching, changed it on me. And that's perfectly all right. That's the way the Lord does sometimes, and I'm thankful for what he brought us to today, and if all he gives will give us, and I don't know the order, brother, I'll try to make it better. So, something else I've noticed, I got a few, not used to me, can't help but regret it, but it just happened to do me. Kind of the subject that I'm preaching on is about the stature of man. There's several of my stature, amen. And I tell you, I'm usually in the land of amongst the giants. How many know, remember Brother James Rainwater? He told me first time I ever met him, he come up there and look down on me and said, brother, there's one thing for sure. I said, well, brother, I don't know how to take that, but I think I know what you mean. So, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 26. The Bible says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. That God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Praise God. Amen. Those words together, back to back, just ought to, I tell you, just do something for the believer today. What we look to, what we have in God, and thank the Lord, to the Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 31 says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. May God add his blessing to the Word of God today as we look at my thought, we look to and think, you know, the Bible mentions some things here in verse 27 and verse 28. That you see well of what you mean, it came with what God had chosen and what God decides, and we know down to the eighth there to do, that where man might be marveled and man might be astonished. And
And there's many things we can look to in the scripture and reach a close hand. But the Lord began to work in my heart, and I looked at these three choices. The Bible says that God chose three things in the scriptures here. The first thing he chose where? Well, the Bible says he chose the foolish things to confound the wise. And then the Bible says, secondly, as we looked, and he took those things of the weak, and no doubt, as he no doubt will show the mighty. Now we see thirdly, now the Bible shows us he takes the despised, and we look to the despised, and we think about what God has done with the despised. The Bible says to bring things that that are. So when we look at these three chosen things of God, I want to look at this morning with the help of the Lord to preach on the thought there of the chosen. The chosen. I don't know, and I know some of you, mine may went to this chosen show. I have no idea about it. Don't watch any of that thing, because I critique it to this, amen, and I just don't, I don't watch. You may have heard of the chosen. This ain't got nothing to do with it, amen. The chosen, the Bible says that, I want to look at three types of people that God has chosen there to do those great things of God that we'll see in the midst of the church of Corinth. And you look at the church of Corinth, is a troubled, no doubt, seemingly a place and time, because they was much about of their intellect. They was much about, as they put all their stock in wisdom, they glorified intelligence. They looked to the Greek philosophies and the things of time, and they hinged their everything on man's status and stature, and it ended up infiltrating into the church, and the church began to be a place of comparison. And the church, as Paul looked at the Corinthians and how they began, no doubt, to measure those things of God by the abilities of man. And as we come today, we find ourselves looking in verse 27 to begin with, and how we understand, as Paul writes, and he counteracts these things of culture and pressures that have infiltrated themselves in the church, because we know these things cause division, they cause pride, and they cause self-sufficiency. And I'm thankful today that when we look to the Word of God and who God is and what we find ourselves are, I pray and hope today that God will help us to see ourselves as the weak. We see ourselves as despised. We see ourselves as foolish. And you say, well, preacher, who wants to be foolish? Who wants to be weak? And who wants to be despised? Well, it's according to how you're measured and how you're defining there what we see in God's holy word, that we know that where the Bible said that it's not that where we find ourselves by the world's standards and the world's ways, but heaven has a different way than we know the way that heaven shows us in the scriptures than the earth, praise God. When you think about who God chooses and who God uses, I'm glad God don't look out as the earthly ways of resumes. And God, as we know, and thank God, he's not looking there at who's so qualified and who's so there seemingly fits the bill. But he's much quite the opposite and contrary according to the scriptures, because man thinks they're not seemingly in the presence in the ways that they can do much for a holy God. I'm glad this morning. I'm glad that what God sees and we can. I'm glad what God knows and we don't. It's not by that. I think about on my workplace there. I take resumes and employment there, and how many have filled out a resume, and they filled out that resume, boy, that paper. It looked real good, Brother Rod. It's in everything I work. But you know how amazing it is. It's not what's written down. It's not what man says, but what's performed, amen, and what's done. Some of the blessed employees I've ever had, the resume wasn't much to fit the bill. The resume wasn't much in the eyes of the world. They come to me and say, I'm a hard worker, and I'm willing to learn there. I like those. Those are usually have been some of my best employees because of how they found themselves useful and pliable, and so they're willing to learn. They didn't know it all. You can't know it all in the service. service of God, amen. You got to understand where we are in the Lord, amen. And how we know now that we find that the Bible says these things, and we look to how God don't take the popularity poll. God don't look at the social standing. Well, look where you come from and who you belong to. Matter of fact, this blessed book, it's much about the misfits, amen. It's much about the mismatches. Hey, the mismatches, amen. It's about like trying to wear two shoes on the feet, amen. It just don't work. There's mismatches that we see that wouldn't work in the eyes of man. Well, how we know there's those that have found themselves there missed by the world. The world passed them up. The world, they no doubt said they was a mistake. The world said they wouldn't be that in the eyes of God worth anything. I thank God for the Rahab, amen. But the Bible, thank God for those of faith that where the world no doubt passed them over there, that God could use such a one. I'm glad God could such a us as us, amen, as we sometimes were. But now we're washed and we're justified in the eyes of God. We come there to a place where grace found us in our words, and where grace found us there. And no doubt the depths of sin. I'm glad there in my words that God come to me and saved no wretch like me. And I know that ain't a day that I'm on my way to glory, praise the Lord. It's all as the Bible shows us today of who and what God can use. You may be in the service today and think, well, you're not much. You're a good candidate, amen. That's exactly where we find ourselves, and amongst there in the eyes of God. And we see, and I got to looking in the Bible and thinking about all the misfits and the mismatches there and all the misovers and mistakes in the eyes of man. Oh, but I got to looking in the Bible, and it's just right here. The Bible says the chosen, amen. Oh, then you get to look, and you got where it says the set apart. And then you got the peculiar, the called out, the beloved, the witnesses, the holy nation, the ambassadors, the commission, the bride of Christ, amen. Oh, then you got the church. You got the saints of God. I'm glad of what we are in God. We're not a bunch of who's who's. We seem to find ourselves, as the Bible says, not a bunch of nobodies in the Bible. Instead, as we look and find what God looks to, it wasn't accidentally rattling, but the Bible says it's not perfect. God chooses us on purpose. It's not by coincidence, not by accident, but God helps us today to understand these three types of people that the Lord will help us with. And the first time that we see, the Bible says in verse 27, that God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That word foolish, I looked it up, it means what the world rejects, basically. Amen. It's who the world's rejected. God takes and He chose the foolish things. I thought about the rejection and those that rejected there of this world. And I remember, as the Bible tells us in that, hey, praise God, in that 40th chapter of the book of Psalms, that we were miry clay. We were in a mess. That when the Lord found us there in a place that thank God He saved us and put a song in our mouth, established our going, set our feet on the rock. And I understand I'm nothing still. I'm Apostle Paul said it. I am what I am by the grace of God. And anything of me is this of God. And we'll see ultimately today the three types of people, the foolish, the weak, and those who are despised, is that God will get the glory out of me and you today. That's what God's looking for. God's not looking for anybody who's who. Like I said, God's not looking for the popularity. God's not looking for anything that God gets the glory. Whether you're a preacher, whether you're a teacher, deacon, a piano player, you sing for the Lord, whatever you do for God, it's that God may receive the glory of God. And that's ultimately these three types of why God chooses the foolish and the weak and the despised, the Bible says. When you think about that word foolish, has no doubt it means what the world rejects. We look to that where the Bible says he took those foolish things to confound the wise. That word confound means to confuse or bewilder. It's one of them head scratchers, you know, as he chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, as they don't realize and they can't figure it out. And the Bible says this mess happened much throughout the scriptures, praise God, and how we see, but it simply means to put to shame and expose as wrong. God says he takes the foolish of the rejection of what the world looks to as a nobody, and he takes that one and he takes them to confound the wisdom of this world. I like where the Bible says in verse 27, but God. I love it when God butts in, as they say. Amen. I'm thankful there where God butts in. You can, no doubt, when the world's counted you out, God steps in and says where the world calls it foolish, God calls it chosen. Amen. How we look and see there that we often sometimes think about how God, no doubt, takes of that of emptiness, the hands of what we don't have much to bring. I'm glad we always get more than what we can bring. Is God not that way? Amen. Is God not always better than we deserve? Is God not always one that, whether we find ourselves of anything, he's proved himself time and time again that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask? Hey, all we ask according to what? To his power that worketh in us. We know the ability of God and the inability of us. Amen. We'll see today, God help us, that where they look at this thing called faith that we have in God. We believe there's a God that's sitting on the throne today. There's a God that's sovereign. There's a God that's thinking. There's a God that, thank God, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world. He sure does. Amen. He's not scratching his head today. He's in very much control. He knows what's going on. It seems foolish to have faith in somebody that I've never laid these physical eyes on. Oh, but spiritually, my friend, today I'm thankful there. I see him. Hey, sweet and praise God, if we look and find the fellowship relationship there of a heavenly Father. He's my Father. He's one that loves me and walks with me and talks to me along the way. You can't tell me he's not real. You can't tell me that he's not on the throne this morning. I know, hey, he is one by faith that I see. I don't doubt, just like Abraham, I embrace those promises today because I know where he is. Hey, I can quit worrying. Hey, Brother Roger, I'm right with you. I'd buy as Derber says a cat on Tomcat Road. Amen. I tell you what, it's just that way. I don't ever want to lose that. Been preaching about 35 years, but you know how you got those that sit there. They going to critique you. They going to try to take that message. They going to try to take your, no doubt, your demeanor and different things there, instead of just taking the Word of God and trying to be hillified. Amen. But I can't control that. All I can do is what God give us this morning. Amen. Now the Bible says it's foolish to have faith in such a one. How God delights in overturning human expectations. Praise God. I think about Moses. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:24, by faith. Moses. What Moses do by faith? Oh, how they looked to him. The Bible says when he was up to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I don't have time to backtrack. I trust most of you know the story there, but he seemingly is no doubt one that knew all about Moses and knew where Moses come up, and he was right in line there to be able to be all that Pharaoh had to offer. You know, he had a no doubt, hey, how foolish it is, Moses, that you won't just choose Pharaoh. I mean, you got a lifelong there inheritance. You got all expense paid trip there for anything you want there. How in the world would you not want to be, no doubt, a Pharaoh's daughter's son? You could be one that would be on top of the world, but all as Moses' faith, it seemed foolish in those eyes, maybe around him, He said, give me God. Oh, give me the faith of my mother and fathers. They taught me. Give me the faith there that stood the test. Give me the faith there that no doubt didn't waver when the threats and the warnings come. The Bible says, but thank the Lord that he still kept the Passover. He still kept the sprinkling of blood. That's why you fast, Lord. And when God chose one to lead those children of Israel out of the land of there of Pharaoh and Egypt, there how we find that God chose that one that's called Moses. Amen. And Moses objected, by the way. He said, I have an inability. I can't speak, God. Surely I'm not the one. It's the last quote, first thing you'd ever want, God. Oh, but God chose Moses there. Go down to lead those children of Israel out of the land there, bondage. Praise the Lord. And how we see that when God takes that, the man's inability, he wasn't no eloquent speaker, as we know, according to the scriptures. He had a speech impediment. But I'm thankful God can take the stuttering mouth. I'm thankful God can take a little shepherd boy and give him a sling there with a faith in God and slay a giant. Amen. I'm glad God can take just a simple fisherman in the New Testament, turn the world upside down, by the way. The Bible says there in Acts chapter 4 in verse 13, you know what? As those looked upon him, upon Peter and John, as they looked in there, they'd have been around them, as the Bible says, they were marveled, because you know what they were marveled about? Hey, Peter and John done had a change. Peter and John done had a different path. They done learned things there they never heard come out of the mouth of Peter and John. You know what the Bible says? Basically, the world perceived them as being ignorant and unlearned men. They couldn't believe what when hey, Psalms 118 was coming out of the mouth of Peter, amen. And we talked about that chief cornerstone, amen. I tell you what, that chief cornerstone that finds itself rejected, that one day it's going to be exalted. He's going to be ruling and reigning in the kingdom of God, amen. Hey, that which was rejected there, that chief cornerstone, none other than Jesus Christ. And Peter, hey, let it be known there, they took the lead with them chief. They got to uneducated. They were simple fishermen, simple labor, foolish. Couldn't believe it when they started quoting scripture. Amen. I got a good preacher friend. Don't have much education in this world. He knows the scriptures. Amen. You study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. It'll do wonders for you. You learn the scriptures. You meditate upon the scriptures. You eat the scriptures. You love the scriptures there. You love the commandments of God. You meditate on them day and night. The word of God will help you greater than any man. Any one thing of this walks of life could ever do. God's word will get you through the valleys. God's word will get you through the midnight hours. God will give you a song when you don't feel like singing. God's word will take that there and bring you, no doubt, you sing like this at the bottom of a shoe. And nobody cares about you. I'm glad there's one that loves me today. I'm better for the cares for me today. He cares for my children. That's sad. Who is somebody that clean die for? Somebody that so much sleep. Oh, Jesus. God, anything we bring, the cross, thing, amen. Oh, it's a great God. God's for Moses. God's for Moses. You're for. You're just the one I knew. Don't you let your inabilities stop you being the person. World tells you you can't do it. The self tells you can't do it. The devil tells you you can't do it. But God says he chose the foolish. Things of foolish. Found the dust. I have felt this. Now God's word said it last three verse 4, one of the same texts. He said it pleased him by the foolishness of preaching. Well, by the foolishness of preaching. Well, a lot of different preachers here today, praise the Lord. We find ourselves common faith, find ourselves common ground that we preach the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says it pleased God not foolishness to preach it, that the same that they might believe, the Bible says, and praise God. And if we know the foolishness of preaching, maybe a lot of different preachers, but it's the same message. Amen. It's the same Jesus. It's the same preaching, the same word that we find ourselves looking to today, that God is not impressed with our personal credits there of what our life is in the sense of what the world's status looks to us and how we might be unlikely in the status of the world that makes us the most likely in the eyes of God. Amen. The foolishness of preaching. How many would say, I never would have thought, walking into preachers, God would choose them. 35 years ago, I got to the end of this. It's only about 2 minutes long. Oh, it felt like red. Talking about being hurt. I remember that. As a young boy in school and trying to get up in front of a crowd and try to read that, try to memorize things and stutter through it and didn't even finish it there. I just couldn't do it there. I mean, how some of us may be here today and it seems like we just can't talk. That's why you're not teaching. Maybe there you're worried about talking is why you ain't surrendered to preaching. Maybe you ain't afraid to talk. That's why you ain't singing. I don't know what it may be, but there's one thing about it. Oh, if God calls you, the Bible says if God chooses you, hey, God sure is going to use you. Amen. Hey, God's able to open that mouth and let her fly. I remember there, no doubt, when I got saved there in 1991 there, got in a good church. Amen. Wasn't long there. I was in the Bible. I was loving the Lord there, growing in God there. And then it was about a year or so later, the Sunday school teacher wanted me to teach a lesson one Sunday morning. I said, there ain't no way it ain't happening, Cap. It ain't gonna happen. And I told him no for about 6 months, I think it was. And I finally got up enough courage, because you know what? It wasn't courage, it was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost began and kept pricking me and poking me. And then, all right, Lord, I'll do it. And I next thing I know, I'm teaching Sunday soon. Oh, then revival one night there. And no doubt, Lord, done been dealing. I done been running from it about calling to preach. And I said, no way, I'm surrendering to preach. It ain't happening. Just it ain't doing it, Lord. And I could not get away from the calling. I couldn't get away from what God was doing in my life that night. And I say that it does not come, no doubt, with ease. And if I told you it's been an easy road as a preacher, trying to learn the scriptures, and you want to preach to please God, amen, and you want to not be a people pleaser, but a God pleaser, amen. It takes standards, it takes stands, amen. That you're going to have people mad or not going to like it there. You better thank God for a pastor, no doubt, to try to lead you in the right ways and directions there, a spirituality. Because this world will eat you up, amen. Oh, begin to study and see those things and got this county this county that, and you're trying to listen and trying to learn, and then here I am 35 years later, still trying to foolishness of preaching, foolishness of faith, the foolishness of the cross. Paul said in Chapter 2, verse 2, so I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The world's wisdom dismissed the preaching of the cross. They say it's foolish. It's foolish. All the importance can never be, as we look through, you can never overestimate the importance of the cross of Calvary. Whether we look and think about those seven sayings on the cross, we think about all the biblical doctrines about the cross, we think about everything that's centrally themed of Christianity. As we look to the cross, the Bible says in verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is is the power of God. I'm glad for Calvary this morning. I'm glad all the love that drew salvation's plan. I'm glad for the grace that brought it down to man. I'm glad for, hey, Calvary, mercy, grace, as grace was free. I'm glad. Hey, thank God he gave it to me. Amen. Hey, thank the Lord as it might be foolish as cross as Jesus hung a curse there in the eyes of the Romans there. They looked at it as no doubt a weakness. They looked at it as you find the Jews a stumbling block. You looked at it as the Greeks. They saw it as foolishness. We know Calvary paid a debt. Lord, he didn't know how thankful is the cross that leaves us. All level grounds at the cross. I could preach on the cross, but I got to move on. And secondly, we got to see there how the Bible says not only he chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, but he chose the weak things of the world to confound the things we are hiding. When we look to the weak things there that we find ourselves in the Scripture, the Bible says that how that weakness is a culture of no doubt in man. It's looking there for that strength, or looking for financial strength. They're looking for political strength. They're looking for physical strength. They're looking there for all the mighty that you can muster up. They want all the might and the strength that you can find in yourself. That's what the world's teaching. That's what they're taking God out of everything. They're taking that of faith out of everything. They're trying to point man to man there and look to man. They become there the lovers of pleasures, which is what the Bible says, more than lovers of God. They're high-minded there. They find themselves unthankful there, and they forgetting God in this day and time that where we find ourselves of strength this morning. It's the weakness of man that when they realize where they come from, that we can see the strength of God. That's what the Bible teaches. You stand tall and you stand proud in your prideful ways, and you'll not receive the blessings of God according to the Word of God. I'm thankful there the Apostle Paul has that well-known thorn in the flesh, and we no doubt look and find trying to figure out what it is. It's not so much about what the thorn is. You know what? A lot of people's waiting on your troubles to stop. You're waiting on the pains to go away. You're waiting on the thorn to be removed. But you know what? God come as Paul, Brother Roger, he prayed and he prayed and he prayed according to the Scripture three times, and seemingly as heaven was silent, God answered. God answered. That's what he's saying. And we know, I'll read it to you. Many, as we know, 2 Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, My grace is sufficient. My grace, Paul, as he heard the answer from God. And God did not give him the answer of removal, but give him that of revelation. As he revealed that his grace is going to be to what takes him rest of the way. It's God's grace that's going to keep him rest of the way. It's God's grace that's going to sustain him up there for rest of the way. It wasn't there by deliverance. It was by declaration that God no doubt shows up in the life of the Apostle Paul at where that thorn was in his side. It was at a weak moment and a weak time. And Paul said, as I thought about, oh God, if you just remove this thorn out of my flesh, there, I sure could do more for you. I sure could do it and go about more. Or some of you here today, you've got ailments. You've got things that slowed you down. I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient this morning. It'll make you perfect in the weakness. It's what the Bible says. That word perfect there in that Scripture means it'll take you to the end. It'll finish it. Amen. I'm glad that God's grace, matchless, marvelous, amazing grace, able to help us through those times of weakness. And Paul began to expound on, when I'm weak, you're strong. Oh, I rather, oh, my infirmities. Oh, I rather them be here that you may receive the glory. Oh, how we find ourselves there, that where weaknesses don't let it define you. Weakness is where God thrives. Weakness is there where God, we see Him in such a way as we no doubt missed and waiting on our problems to go away, and we're waiting on those things to not be present. We're going to miss the Lord. Amen. You don't serve Him there. Hey, if you only serve Him when everything's going good, it ain't going to be much service. Been there, done that. Amen. I tell you, those things try to. And God knows all about it. God knew about that thorn in the flesh. God knew what Paul was going through. Why didn't He take it away? Why didn't He remove it there? God has a way. The Bible says to give grace to the humble. What it says in James chapter 4. What the Bible tells us there. The Bible says if we abase ourselves, He exalt ourselves. We need those things to keep us in check, so to say, that how much we need God. I couldn't preach enough to you and make it plain enough today that how much you and I need God. But I sure am thankful that God puts those weaknesses and those things in our life that we realize, God, oh, I'm depending on You. Lord, I'm praying. Do you know what will keep you on your knees? Those times when you realize you need God. It ought to be through the good times too, though. I know we're like that. I know we sure see God out there in those hard days and hard times, but we ought to be seeking Him through the good too. Don't forget about Him, amen. Don't forget about Him when everything's going good. You bless His holy name as they sing. Say, you praise Him, amen. You thank Him just like, hey, during the good times and the bad times, God's good today. Lord, God's good. We thank Him and we praise Him there for all He does for us. God, we know that His grace, it says, is sufficient. Not will be, not was, but my grace is. He's telling Paul it is right now. Yeah. The order is coming. It's here in time. I'm thankful God knows what He's doing today. Amen. Praise the Lord as we sing. Weakness drives us to dependence. You know, it may look like on the outside that God crippled Paul, but He was really empowering Paul. Those times of the weakness, those times of the thorns, to say, in the flesh, helps us understand us in the power of God. I don't know how somebody on their deathbed look up and up. I've never been on my deathbed. I've seen testimony. I've heard testimony how they trusted God all the way. How they looked up and thanked Him. They was ready to meet their Savior. There's that dying grace we preach about and all them different types of grace. We know that, John chapter 1 and verse 16 talks about how the fullness of Jesus, grace for grace, amen. It just keeps coming. You can't use it all up, amen. We thank God for the goodness of His grace to us and where we find ourselves in the ways that it is. But lastly today, we see that not only God chooses the foolish, God chooses the weak, but notice God chooses the despised, the Bible says. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. As we look to that word base, it means low born. Base things. We think of base being as the base of anything. You have a foundation base. You have the base of the structure. It's got to have a good base to it. It's got to have a base. It's the lowest of it is. But when you look to the scriptures there, it's talking about the base things. It's talking about those low-born things. When you think about what He's talking about, preach about the low-born, the L-O-W-B-O-R-E, what the low-born things? Well, it means that the low social status of those that are very far from the elite. I thought about, as the Bible talks about there in John chapter 1 as well, in verse 46, that we know that when those disciples are getting called by the Lord, and they're fixed to serve God. And here comes Philip there and talks about how the Messiah that of Moses, the prophets talked about, he's here, he's amongst us there. And old Nathaniel says, hey, where has anything good ever come out of Nazareth? As Nazareth has never brought anything. And here you're telling me that here he is, Jesus of Nazareth, he's with us. You mean there's something good that's going to come out of Nazareth? I'm telling you, as the Bible declares that Jesus in Isaiah 53 and verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men. He's one that no doubt a supreme example that where you look to those who find themselves in a place that where you're despised. Hey, thank God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in such a way as one that without profit in his own country, in his own house, amongst his kin, the Bible says, but oh, Jesus, as being despised, went all the way to the cross, not despising it for the joy that was set before him. They may have despised him and mocked him there. They come by that cross wagging their heads all the way from the scribes to the Pharisees to the crowds. But thank God, as they wagged their heads and they said, if thou be the Son of God, save thyself. Oh, you're not the Son of God. Or you get yourself down. Look how weak you are. Oh, but they didn't know the plan of God. They didn't know what was going to happen on that third glorious day. Can I say what the world rejects, God raises up. I'm glad we're a bunch of nobodies that become somebody by the grace of God. I'm glad when God took creation there without form and void there in the darkness of its way, and God turned it in to where we know in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. We serve a creator, a designer. We're not of our own. Hey, we find ourselves of a maker today. We're a tripart being. Let us make man in our own image. Bless God as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I'm glad who I am in the Lord. Amen. It's him today. It's him that took the despised of this world and no doubt brought them to naught, the Bible says. And the Word of God says how they were despised. That word means rejected, looked down upon. God chooses that. Thank God of what the world disposes of. Oh, is he that resurrected, risen King. God specializes in the overlooked. God specializes in the underestimated. God specializes in the insignificant. As we look and surrender and not our status today, God can use you. God can use you. And God can use me. Amen. Preaching about the chosen.
Amen.
I don't know if you feel like you're a failure, you feel like you fall short. I'm not preaching that message. Talking about serving the Lord. What do you need to be doing for God? What might be hindering you? What might be the excuse? I don't know. You say, well, it's legitimate, preacher. You don't know what I'm going through. And I don't. I never met some of you. But can I give you assurance? God knows all about it. There's some here maybe today that you need to be, hey, you need to hear. God knows all about it.
Amen.
And you got to understand that God can use those things for, as I said, well, in this message, and I'm done. Here's the heart of the matter. Here's the heart of the matter. And you think about everything from the beginning to the end. If salvation could be earned, we could boast. If the calling was based on our merit, we could brag. If the ministry depended on our talents alone, we could take credit. But God says the foolishness and the weak and the despised is that we're no man. No man can stand and say, you know what our story ought to be? It ought not be, look what I've done. It ought to be, look what God's done. Hey, man, every time we sing those precious hymnals, bless God. Oh, every time we thank God for a testimony in our life, we giving God the glory. It ain't bragging on him. We know we're giving the testimony of what God's done. Amen. As the Bible says there, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
God says, I'll take those things that where man looks upon them, they'll say it had to be God. It's God. It had to be God. It had to be God. I knew him before he knew God. I know it's got to be God. I still get that sometimes in my life all these years later. I can't believe what you know. Hey, I can't believe it neither what God's done. Amen. Right. Are we a willing vessel? Or we want to say, here I am, Lord. Send me. Amen. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. God. Yeah. He's still doing them. He's still wanting to do it. Amen. God's not changed. God's still able to take that which we have not, as we feel the smallness, we feel the weakness to overlook, but thank God it makes a candidate for sure for the uses of God.
Amen.
We can't get out of place. We got to always remember, to God be the glory. If it was not for Him, oh, where would we be? God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.